Well, you can't do better than Bill Cosby on Father's Day, huh? Great insights. I agree with him completely. So happy Father's Day. Someone once said to me, Father's Day is just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much on the gift. And I thought to myself, what gift? Yeah, and considering all the wisdom that us dads have dispensed over the years, right, guys? I mean, the wisdom that pours out of us, you would think that we would get better gifts. I want to share some of that wisdom with you right now. Here are some of the things that dads have said at one time or another over the years to their kids. And of course, the first, and you know, it's really the one that kind of stands out. This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And then, of course, quiet. I'm watching the ball game. Bring back all the change. And don't forget to check the oil. How should I know? Ask your mother. My dad would always say this next one, I'm not made out of money. It doesn't grow on trees. I always looked around it. I never found that tree. I know my dad said this one. He had it memorized. When I was your age, I walked 5 miles to and from school each day, and it was uphill both ways. And then whenever our family had family outings planned, I had this one. You are going, and you will have fun. It never really worked. I'd say, hey, who's paying the bills around here anyway? If you break your leg, don't come running to me. And don't put your feet on the furniture. Your mother will kill you. And get down. This is one of my favorites. Get down before you kill yourself. On second thought, go ahead. Now, all dads do this. I don't know if it works. Why? Because I said so. That's right. I think some of you moms know that one too. And then when the dads are feeling particularly masculine and, you know, the testosterone is flowing, they do this. If you don't quit that, what you're doing, I'm going to call your mother. And you better get that junk picked up before your mother comes in here. And then my personal favorite, and I still use it to this day, I was not asleep. I was just resting my eyes. No, that wasn't me snoring. So, you know, oh, and then there was one that was given to me in the lobby. Somebody said it, and the dad used to always said it. It's kind of like, it was a multiple choice question. You know, what kind of idiot are you? And the son would always be asking himself, well, I don't know. Is it A, B, C, D? I'm trying to figure it out. So I thought that was good, too. I suppose all of you as fathers and, of course, as parents could probably add a couple of quotes to this list. Being a parent and a father is an interesting experience, sometimes a trying experience. Someone once said parents spend the first part of a child's life urging him to talk and walk and the rest of a childhood telling him to sit down and keep quiet. So clearly, both parenting and fatherhood can be a real trial. And yet, I think a tremendous blessing. So we're here today to remember all of the fathers and, of course, to remember God our Father. Amen? The one who is the giver of all life and the one whom we need to remember every day. But today we want to think about our fathers and our earthly fathers specifically, and some of the things maybe that we should say thank you for. And I was thinking of three of the main things that I think we need to thank our dads for. If you have the opportunity, or certainly at least to give thanks to God for these three. And the first is this, and I'll put it up on the screen. You ought to thank your father for material possessions or provision, excuse me. Everybody have a drink. Go ahead. Thanking your father for material provision. Provision is what I meant to say. And I was thinking of something that the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, He has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And all he's really saying is that even non-Christians provide for their families. How is it possible that someone who claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ would not be providing for his family? Now, my mom turned 90 years old this week, celebrated her 90th birthday. And my dad will turn 90 in December. And so I think they're watching on live streaming right now. I believe they're watching. And so, Dad, I love you. And I get this chance to say Happy Father's Day to my dad. His name is Frank. I'm sure his actual name is Francis, and I'm sure that's what his mom called him when he was in trouble. But I always knew his name to be Frank. And he spent his childhood in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania. And his dad died when he was only 3 years of age, and his mom ran and operated a corner grocery store. I'm told that when he was a child, he began to learn the viola. I guess that's a larger version of the violin, and he also learned the clarinet, played in the school orchestra and band. And you know what's interesting is here he is, 89 years of age, and he's still playing in a local band over in Charlottesville, Virginia. And the name of the band is the Second Wind Band. He plays clarinet. One of my favorite stories about my dad, if I may just talk about him for a moment, is the story of the milk truck. I really do not know if this is true. He's told it so many times, I don't know anymore. But, you know, he had, a milk delivery job, and in those days you'd have the glass containers of milk, you know, with the cream at the top and the cap. You have to be a lot older to know what that's about. And the milkman would bring it to your door and take away the empty bottles. And so his job was to drive the truck. He was probably an older teenager, 16, 17, 18 years old, drive the truck to each house, run and get the empty bottles, deliver the new bottles, and get back in the truck, go to the next house. And I'm sure that's what his employer thought he was doing. But the way the story was told to me was that he would just put the truck in neutral and let it kind of go on its own from house to house. I guess really. And he would run and then hop back in and go to the next, run, hop back in and go to the next. I don't know if that's even possible, but I have heard this story so many times that it's kind of embedded in my mind. Well, my dad was a World War II guy. World War II probably shaped most of his early life. He didn't talk a whole lot about it, saw some things that I think he wanted to forget. He had been a student in college at Kings Point Academy, which is a merchant marine academy. Over on Long Island. And in fact, he was part of a class where in his senior year, they actually went to war, and he was out at sea trying to bring and make deliveries to the Allies in battle. And so he actually finished his final year at sea and lost a lot of fellow students and good friends. But he finally left the merchant service to marry my mom, for which I am grateful. And he gave her an engagement ring, and that engagement ring was beautiful but kind of petite. He didn't have any money, and he gave her this ring. And I'm told, as the story goes, that my grandfather took the ring when he was first saw it, and got a magnifying glass. Serious. And then looked at it through the magnifying glass, and then gave his approval and said, okay, that's pretty good, and gave the ring back. And my mom has had that ring on her finger. In fact, she says she never takes it off, and it's true. It's been on her finger now nearly 70 years. So doesn't happen very often in our generation, but it's an amazing testimony of faith and love. And my dad, if I could just say a few more things about him, he worked for his brother-in-law for a while after the war until he got his big break, which was with a job that he got with a camera company, Eastman Kodak. And it brought our family into a move because we started out in New Jersey, but then the family moved down to Houston, Texas. And for a while, everything was big, you know, big bread, big boots, big hats. And, you know, everything's big in Texas. And I remember it, lived in Houston for a few years in my childhood, but then the job brought him back north. And we settled in on Long Island, New York, and had a split level house over in Levittown. And you know, I don't know. I guess he was doing okay at this point, but we still had an old station wagon that mostly my mom drove. And I don't remember. It might have been an old Chevy, but I mean, I might have that wrong. I was kind of young at the time. I don't remember, but I do remember it had fins, and I also remember it had about a 6-inch hole in the floorboard on the passenger side. And so if you were sitting in the passenger side, you could watch the street go by. So whenever there was rain, my dad would look for the puddles to run over just to splash us over on the side. And of course, none of us had seat belts, but somehow we survived. You know, it's here's the point. And why am I talking about my dad? Well, it's Father's Day, but, you know, I watched him go to work often in the morning. He didn't know it, but the way my room was situated, my bedroom looked out over the front of the house, and I would look through the blinds because I would hear the door close. I'd hear him walking down the steps, going outside, and I'd watch him getting into his car, maybe if it was winter, you know, scraping the snow off, getting the ice off. And all I could think about was that I don't want to go out there. You know, I got to go to school myself. But boy, just the thought of what he was going through day after day after day. Now, I'm not saying I appreciated it. All I'm saying is I recognized it and I noticed it. And it took me a long time. And I had to get a lot older before I started to appreciate it. But he was doing whatever was necessary to make a living and provide for his family. So do I think my dad provided for me? Sure I do. Absolutely. And I honestly don't remember missing out on anything. And so, you know, what about your dad? I don't know. You know, maybe you had a great dad. Maybe you had a dad that wasn't around as much as you'd like. Maybe you had a completely different experience. But, you know, I hope your dad provided for you. And if he did, I think you need to say thank you. Assuming he's still living, you know, make sure that he knows that you appreciate what he did, or at least give thanks to God for your dad, because that's what this day is all about, and that's what we're celebrating. And I do understand that there are always some dads out there that bail on their families, and that's a sad thing. It's single moms carrying the whole load, and I'm so thankful for single moms. I wish they never had to be in that situation. But typically through no fault of their own, they are, and they do the very best they can, and they have hopefully some family around them that can help them. Sometimes the government steps in and helps them a little bit, and I get it. I understand doing the very best they can because a dad has skipped out of town and isn't helping out. But let me give you an example of a different kind of dad very quickly. And some of you younger dads here, you need to listen up. These were words that were actually spoken years ago by a grandson, and he was talking about his hardworking grandfather. Listen to this. My grandfather came from Kentucky. He married a Kansas girl and settled down in Indian Territory, which later became Oklahoma. They had 16 children. It never occurred to my grandfather that the government should take care of his family. That was his responsibility. He was a law officer before statehood, but became a sharecropper in order to feed his family. Their poverty did not discourage him from the personal pride of caring for his own. And he raised his children without the benefit of electricity or running water. He died without ever having a driver's license. His children, nevertheless, grew up to be hardworking, patriotic, and devout. And I am thankful that in spite of his poverty, he did a great job of providing for his family. What I love about the story is that this is generational. This is a grandson. So this is the third generation now still thinking of the sacrifice that was made. And I wonder sometimes if we're looking back far enough to think of the sacrifices that have been made so that we can be here this day and enjoy the lives, or at least experience the lives that we are living. And I hope enjoy them and make a contribution in our own generation. So I want to thank God for all the fathers who provide as best as they can for their families. And so I want to say thank you to the fathers. And I want to say thank you to my own dad. Dad, I love you. Thank you for providing for me and doing such a great job and making that kind of sacrifice. Now, I want to say a couple other things, because there's at least one other thing, I think maybe even two, that we should say thank you to our dads for. And we'll put the second one on the screen. How about this? Thanks for faithful instruction. Yeah, how about that one? Thanks for some faithful instruction. And it comes in a variety of ways. I'll explain what I'm getting at. Listen to this. Paul, the Apostle Paul, said this to a church in Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 in the New Testament said, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." In other words, dads, we have a responsibility to bring up our children. We're involved in this process, in the instruction, in the training, in the understanding of the ways of God, and to do so in a way that does not discourage them, in a way that lifts them up and strengthens them. And I think fathers do instruct their children about many things, often without realizing it. And that's important, because, you know, my own dad, he was not one for a lot of talking. That's been my approach. But my dad didn't do that. There wasn't a lot of talking. However, I will tell you this, and I could give you a lot of memories, but I'll give you just one. After a long day at work, and I only found out many years later how hard his job was and the kind of challenges that he faced, because every day on the job, his job was to deal with nothing but people's problems on the job that he had. And so that's what he dealt with in New York City, if you can imagine such a thing. And so I didn't really appreciate that. I just knew that when he got home, I had my ball glove, I had a ball, and I gave him his glove, and he never said a word. We were out in the street throwing the ball back and forth. I don't know how many hours we spent throwing that ball back and forth, but it is countless hours. And you know what was interesting about my dad is that he never told me, throw it this way, throw it that way, dig it out, jump for it, or he just kept throwing it back and forth. It was just his presence. You know what I'm saying? It was just that he was there and that he took that time to throw the ball back and forth with me. And I'll never forget it. It's a part of my childhood, it's a part of my memory, it's a part of who I am, and I thank him for that. But fathers, you know, they give all kinds of instruction to their children about all kinds of things. Could be about work that you do, or about school, or about relationships, about dating, about how to drive a car. Oh, my goodness. I taught my kids, all three of them, how to drive a car. My two boys did good, Nathan and Josh. They did okay. Then I got to my daughter, Heather, who was singing up here a while ago. She almost killed me half a dozen times. I think there was one day where she was driving and we stopped the car in the middle of the road. She got out and we switched places. So you can imagine what that conversation was like. But she's a great driver today. That's not me needing to take a drink of water. That's just me having a little fun. But I know that with my own kids, you know, with the three children that Dawn and I raised, they each drew something different out of me. Each was unique, and each relationship with each of my kids was unique, because they're all unique, and I just love spending time with them and watching them learn to do things. However, I also learned that I couldn't do everything, and I certainly couldn't fix everything. However, there was one thing I could do, and this is what Dawn and I tried to do continually, and we've taught on it here, but we learned it when we were young parents, and that is to fill that emotional tank, because sometimes kids just run out of gas, you know, and they can get testy, and they can get angry, and things are said, and at every age, from childhood on through those teenage years, and sometimes you just need to fill the tank, but sometimes we forget how to do it as parents. And the way you do it, of course, is through a lot of loving with your eyes. You know, I've shared with you the story about my mom looking at me, just staring at me. I say, "Mom, what are you looking at?" She'd say, "I'm just loving you with my eyes." And I never forgot it. You know, so do we love, do we use our eyes just to discipline when we're angry, or do we love our kids with our eyes? Touching them, holding them, making physical contact, you got to go out of your way to do that. Very rarely will I pass one of my children and not touching them, or my grandchildren, or my children's spouses. I'm not necessarily a touchy person, but I just think it's that important to connect and to make contact with other people, especially our children and our spouses, of course. But also there is that giving them that special time, spending time with them. Each of my children would, as I said, draw something different out of me. So the time I spent with them was different based on what, you know, their personalities and their interests. But I wish I could do it all over again. And I'm watching now each of my kids do it with their children, and I'm enjoying it so much and seeing how God is so faithful in blessing and taking the teaching and the love of Jesus Christ from one generation to another. And instruction is important in how we speak to our kids, and we do have to be careful how we deliver it. You know, Josh was kidding around earlier, but we do need to ask the question, are you a coach or are you a critic? And I'm glad he was listening to my message in the first worship experience, because we need to think about it. You know, dads, come on. Are you a coach or are you a critic? A good father is a coach, one who comes and stands alongside his kids and helps them and brings them through some of the challenges in life. It's easy to be a critic and criticize everything. Well, I hope you're a coach, and I hope your father was that kind of coach as well, but I certainly hope you are. In fact, let's look at the words from the Apostle Paul that I quoted a moment ago from the book of Ephesians. Listen to them from the Living Bible, which is a paraphrase of the Bible, but listen to how it connects with what I just said. Don't keep on scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful. Rather, bring them up with the loving discipline the Lord himself approves. So the scripture is very clear on how we love our kids and how to encourage them and how to support them. But one dad confessed, and I quote, "I took my children to school, but not to church. I taught them to drink, but not the living water. I enrolled them in Little League, but not kids' church. I showed them how to fish, but not to be a fisher of men. I made the Lord's Day a holiday rather than a holy day." And he went on to say, "I taught them that the church was full of hypocrites and made myself the greater hypocrite. I gave them a color TV but provided no Bible. I handed them the keys to the car but did not give them the keys of the kingdom of God. I taught them how to make a living, but I failed to bring them to the Christ who alone can make a life." Dads, I don't want you to be saying that at the conclusion of your tenure, at the conclusion of your responsibility as fathers, and your children are now grown, and you look back and you realize that you didn't do what you could have done. This is your moment. This is your season. This is the generation for you to make a difference. And I'm so thankful for dads that do, for the faithful instruction that they give, for all the good advice, especially if that instruction includes the Lord. Let me give you one other thing that I think we need to say thanks to dads about, and we'll finish up. And that's this. Thanks for the godly example. Thanks for the godly example. And again, I'm reminded of something the Apostle Paul said. And it's really one of those verses in the Bible that is most often misunderstood. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." But did you notice that Paul did not say, "Do everything I do"? He said, "Do everything I do which is Christ-like. Do everything I do that represents and lifts up Jesus Christ. Follow that example in me," because Paul himself was not perfect. And neither are you, and neither am I, dads or moms or the rest of us who are listening to this message. And we're learning and we're growing and we're maturing and we're developing. You know, with my children, at least for me, everything seemed to be a teaching opportunity. Are you shocked at that? You know, every problem, every challenge was an opportunity to bring some teaching. However, I think after a while, all the words eventually began to blur together. And I'm reminded of a story that I've shared a couple of times years past, but it's worth mentioning. When I was with my daughter who had broken her ankle, and we were at the emergency care, and I'm standing alongside her. She's about 11 years old, 11 going on 21. And I'm talking to her about, I don't know, good stuff. I'm probably sharing, you know, Jesus and how God's going to work all things together for good and how, you know, we're going to trust in him. I don't know. I was probably doing great, you know, do everything, just take an offering, you know. And she stopped me and she said, I don't need a pastor. 11 years old. I don't need a teacher. I don't need a counselor. I just need my daddy. And that was really the nicest way I've ever been told to shut up. 11 years old. But she knew exactly what to say. And I think really what we want to do, dads, if you get nothing else, I hope you get this. And that is that we want to have a transference of character. I mean, not everything you say is going to be remembered, and not everything that you say is worth being remembered. And a lot of things you say, you wish they'd forget almost immediately. But your character is what's going to be transferred from generation to generation. Your integrity, the kind of man that you are. And I hope that comes through loud and clear. You know, I remember the story of this father who, you know, his kids, his sons had found a dog. And it was a stray, didn't have a collar, didn't know where to bring it home. Daddy, can we keep it? And so he said, well, we'll hang on to it and we'll see how it goes. And a couple of days go by, a week goes by, and he says, okay, we can keep the dog. But the next week, another father with his children show up. They're going door to door around the neighborhood. And the kids know and tell Dad, they're coming to our house. It's their dog. And they're wondering what Daddy's going to do. And the way they're talking about the dog, the ones who actually own the dog, is that he had this tuft of white hair, you know, on the forehead. And I say, he's this kind of dog. He's got this white hair, you know. And so the dad, knowing this, quickly went in the back room, got some shears, and cut off that white hair from the dog. And so when they came to the house and said, well, have you seen our dog? He said, no, we haven't seen it. We've got a dog. The dog goes by and all, you know, but no, we don't have your dog. You know, I mean, he won a dog, but he lost his kids. You see what I'm saying to you? You know, sometimes we're so concerned about our children that we forget that the one thing we have to give them is our character, our integrity. And if we lose that, we lose them. And this father just didn't understand. And there are some things I've done in life that I really don't want my children to do, mistakes that I've made, and I could list them. I actually thought about doing that in this message. Would you like to hear about all of my mistakes? Everybody say no. One person said yes. No, I'm not going to do it. But I could do that at another time. But I am sorry for the times that I've given them a bad example, because that certainly has happened. But I also believe that I've done some good things. I've done a handful of godly things and maybe one or two Christ-like things, which I hope they will copy from my life. But there are three things that I really tried to instill into my children that I pass along to you, especially you younger dads. And they come through in my teaching on a regular basis, just things to think about. Now, I wanted my children to understand that they needed to live up to God's grace and not take advantage of God's grace, because we can, you know. We can take advantage of God. He'll continue to love you. But the thing is when you take advantage of God's grace and his forgiveness, eventually you become the kind of person that takes advantage of God's grace. And if you're going to take advantage of God, who else are you going to take advantage of? And that's the one thing God can't fix. He can't fix the person you become when you begin to go down that road. And I had that story so many times. I've shared it many times with my children when they were growing up. Not just once, but often. I was probably doing it on the very day when my daughter said, shut up, Daddy, in the hospital. But it's an important story. And I think the other thing I wanted them to learn was that we need to accept people for who they are, not who we'd like them to be. You know, people are very diverse, And if we begin to learn and recognize the beauty of God's gift in each person, you can enjoy them. And they don't have to be like you at all. In fact, it's kind of fun when people are really different and to see that difference and to enjoy it. And I think the third thing I wanted them to learn was that they should try, if they can, to help others whenever it's within their power to do so. You know, sometimes we think, well, if I can't do it for everyone, I can't do it for this one. But the opposite is true. You know, do for the one what you can't do for all. And that's a simple truth. I know you can't do it for everyone, but you can do it for one. You can make a difference in that one person's life. And your kids need to see you doing that. And so I think this Father's Day, I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you to you dads, to my own dad who's watching, and to just be reminded that we want to thank our fathers for these things, at least these three, the material provision, the faithful instruction, and the godly example that they gave, especially when that instruction and that example represented the Lord, and that we ourselves would be that kind of fathers to our children. And it's just food for thought. You know, Mark Twain, also known as Samuel Clemens, once said this: "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man learned in 7 years. And I'm still learning. You know, here I am, my dad's almost 90, I'm 60, and I'm still at every stage of my life, I've learned something else about my dad since he has lived this long. And I realize what he went through during those years that I didn't appreciate and I didn't understand. And it's so important to say thank you, because the older we get, the more we begin to understand of the sacrifices that were made. And let me close with a story. And I just recall one man, I'm not going to mention who it is, but it's a true story. And he told this story about his dad. And it was really an experience that he had had with his dad when he was a child. He said, "Once, when I was a teenager, my father and I were standing in line to buy tickets for the circus. And finally, there was only one family between us and the ticket counter. This family made a big impression on me. There were 8 children, all probably under the age of 12. You could tell they didn't have a lot of money. Their clothes were not expensive, but they were very clean. And the children were well behaved, all of them standing in line, 2 by 2, behind their parents, holding hands. And they were excitedly talking about the clowns, elephants, and other acts that they would see that night. And one could sense that they had never been to a circus before, and it promised to be the highlight of their young lives. And the father and mother were at the head of the pack, standing proud as could be. And the mother was holding her husband's hand, looking up at him as if to say, 'You're my knight in shining armor.' And he was smiling and basking in pride, looking at her. The ticket lady asked the father, 'How many tickets?' And he proudly said, 'Please let me buy 8 children's tickets and 2 adult tickets so I can take my family to the circus.' The ticket lady quoted the price. The man's wife let go of his hand, and her head dropped, and the man's lip began to quiver. The father leaned a little closer and asked, 'How much did you say?' The ticket lady again quoted the price. You see, the man didn't have enough money. How was he supposed to turn to tell his 8 kids that he didn't have enough money to take them to see the circus? And seeing what was going on, my dad put his hand in his pocket, pulled out a $20 bill and dropped it on the ground. And we were not wealthy by any means. My father reached down, picked up the bill, tapped the man on the shoulder and said, 'Excuse me, sir, I believe this fell out of your pocket.' And the man knew what was going on. He wasn't begging for a handout, but he certainly appreciated the help in a desperate, heartbreaking, and embarrassing situation. He looked straight into my dad's eye, took my dad's hand in both of his, squeezed tightly onto the $20 bill, and with quivering lips and a tear streaming down his cheek, replied, "Thank you. Thank you. This really means a lot to me and my family." I love this story. You know, the man who told it went on to say that he and his dad, they went back to their car and drove home because that was all the money they had to go to the circus. They didn't go to the circus that night at all. He would have forgotten about the circus, he said, but he never forgot his father's example. And that's what Father's Day is all about. You're going to forget about a lot of things. You're going to overlook a lot of other things. But don't forget your father's example. And I thank God for all the fathers. And to my own dad, who I deeply respect and love. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now in the name of your Son, Jesus. And we ask, Lord, for your special blessing upon the dads who are here today, those who are listening on the live streaming, and those who might listen to this message in the days and weeks and months and years ahead. I want to pray for the older dads right now. And Father, let them know that you're not done with them, that there are still mountains to climb. There are still challenges to take on. There are more victories yet to win. And that the life that they've lived and the example they have set has set a course for the generation that will follow them. But it's not over. There's more work to do. And they need to continue to set that example for the younger generation. And Lord, pour out your wisdom into their lives and let them continue to bring that wisdom to every generation that will listen to them and that will learn and that will grow. And Father, I think of the young dads who are here today, those who are just starting out. Maybe they've got young children, or perhaps they've got some teenagers. I don't know. I just know that they need supernatural intervention. Lord, I pray that they'll not get weary in well-doing and the sacrifice that they're making, that they would know that it's all worth it, even though the children right now will probably not really appreciate it. But in the days and the years ahead, as those children get older and have their own experiences with life, they're going to look back at the sacrifice you made, and they will remember it, and they will say thank you. So don't get weary. Don't give up. And you're not alone. Other fathers have gone through what you're going through, and you're going to survive. You're going to make it. Right now, you're not sure how to even pay the bills. Maybe you've lost that job, and it's an embarrassing situation. And maybe both you and your wife need to work, and you're doubling your efforts. But whatever it is, you'll get through it together. And your children will ultimately look to you as an example, not of one who had it all figured out, but of one who sacrificed, who loved, who set the example. And that they could look to and say, "I'm so glad for my dad. I'm so glad for my father. I'm so thankful for the life that he lived and the life that he gave to me." So don't give up. And I know there might be a few dads here who think they could never live up to this standard. Well, the standard is Jesus Christ, and we all fall short. But let me just say one thing to you before we finish today. You can live up to the standard in Christ. Jesus in you can make it happen. But if you've never said yes to God, it's really hard to do that. And so maybe right now, this is your moment. And so before we leave today, let me pray with you. Let me say to you what's so important, that this is the day the Lord has made, that this is the day for salvation, for a new life, for a new beginning. that this is the day that is a divine appointment, and God has you here for this very moment. Everything else that's been said is secondary to this moment. And so I would like to pray with you. Let's talk to God the Father, who loves you, and say, it's time. I want to give my life to you. And if you're ready, repeat these words with me. Say, Father, I give my life to you. You go ahead and pray. Father, I give my life to you. I receive your Son, Jesus, as my Savior. His death on the cross for my sin, so that I can be forgiven. And I do ask you to forgive me of my selfishness, of my pride, of my arrogance, my sin. And in the place of my sin, put your Holy Spirit deep within me so that I can hear your voice speaking to me each day, guiding my steps, that I might walk with you from this day forward. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.